You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
Hey, hey, everybody. It is Wednesday night, time for American Whiner. How's everybody doing? So good to hear, I'm sure it's good to, I don't know where the fuck I was going with that sentence. I was distracted by the fucking board. I'll jump right into it. It's a friend show tonight. Second group show ever. Joined by my good friends, Mr. Don Woolley, back for the third time.
Awesome. Am I the first third time
guest? You are, man. You have the record right now.
Choo-choo. Yeah. Running a train on fucking American Whiner.
The second guest is Mr. Ed St. Antoine, back for first time since August. So, Ed, thanks for being here.
Anytime.
And we're going to talk about movies tonight. And I figure the way that we'll do this is we will start by before we got into it. I suggested that we each pick a movie that we liked. And then we pick a movie that we did not like. And I think what we'll do is, because the first half of the show tends to be positive, we'll talk about the – looks like we got a guest. Did somebody just knock on the door?
Sounded like it.
Come on in. Oh, yeah. Somebody forgot his coat from the show before us. Help yourself, man. Anyway, we're going to talk about the movies that we like for the first half hour, and then we'll talk about the movies that we don't like and whine about those.
That's good. That'll be the fun part.
Yeah, that'll be the fun part.
I should start wearing a shiny vest everywhere like that.
It's fucking styling, man.
Yeah,
it's
Royal Oak though. So
fantastic.
I would have not wanted to leave my shit behind if I were him either. I guess I'll go first. The movie that I saw this year that I really liked, and it didn't have to be from this year, but both of my choices just happened to be from this year. The one that I really liked was called Ingrid Goes West, and it starred Aubrey Plaza and Elizabeth Olsen. And it was about Aubrey Plaza plays this mentally disturbed woman who stalks Elizabeth Olsen's character, who is an Instagram star. And she moves across the country. She gets an inheritance after her mother passes away, takes that money, goes to Los Angeles, basically strikes up a relationship with Elizabeth Olsen, and then madness ensues. Very, very, very good movie. It was the best movie that I've seen this year. The screenplay was is tight as a nun's asshole. It was just – it was so – there is not a single line or scene wasted.
Does that mean it's tight, or does that mean because of the Catholic thing, like it's actually kind of –
It means it's
smashed
tight.
Up. Oh, it was tight. Okay. Yeah,
it's the first one. It was so concise and so like, and it was funny because I posted on Twitter after I saw it. And then the screenwriter commented, he gave me a gif of some of Breckin Meyer's character in some teen movie going, "Thanks, dude." Nice. So that's like that was the one interesting thing that happened to me this year.
The screenwriter of the movie, actually.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's the only interesting thing.
Well, I don't know. I'm being facetious. But
it's been a good year, though.
Yeah, it has. Yeah. that was the best movie that I saw this year, and neither of you guys have seen it.
I have not seen it. It sounds very single white female-ish. It sounds like
it is, but it's not really disturbing. It's not you feel bad for Aubrey Plaza's character, but you don't ever. You never are really afraid that she's going to hurt anybody per se. It's you just mostly
sort of
feel
sounded
bad
like
for
that's
her.
What was going on when you were describing it.
It kind of ventures into that territory, but it's mostly just her really fucking up her life, and you're just kind of watching and going no, because and that's another thing. Aubrey Plaza, I never liked her. I thought she was really one dimensional. And for you guys know who she is?
Yeah, Chris Pratt.
Chris Pratt's in from Parks and Rec. She was in Scott tight. Pilgrim and
oh okay.
The girl is always like making this face and like looking up at people and talks in the really like drive. She was in Funny People. She's been in a whole bunch of stuff.
One trick pony.
Yeah, yeah. I never liked her, but in this movie, like she shows, it was an incredible performance. She does all sorts of cries. She does the desperate cry. She does the quiet. I don't really want to cry, but there's a single tear coming down cry. Crazy range. I was not expecting that from her. Elizabeth Olsen is hilarious as this. What I really liked about this movie was it's the first millennial movie that I've seen that really captures the sort of narcissistic internet aspect of our lives of people that just post shit and get paid for it. Mm-hmm. And it did it in a way that was not like annoying for lack of a better term. I never felt like the filmmaker was full of himself or the filmmaker was trying to be clever. It was just part of the plot. And it was shot beautifully. The performances are all great. The way that the plot unfolds is totally believable. It's like this is what would actually happen. That's what I mean with the screenplay being tight. There was nothing – you'd never question it. It was rock solid, the whole thing, all the way through. Nice. And the dialogue was tight. It was just 5 out of 5 stars. The best movie I've seen this year. And I barely heard anything about it. It's the only
– Was it like an independent type release, like small
– It was.
Type deal? Yeah.
I saw it in the auxiliary theater of the Michigan Theater. Okay, so yeah. There you go right there. But again, and the screenwriter of the movie has few enough followers that he would bother to comment on my Twitter. Yeah. That's how you really know.
Well, you should tweet him the show.
Yeah, well, that's right? a good idea.
You're giving it glowing.
Hey, remember praise, that right? thing, that compliment I gave you out of nowhere,
dude, remember?
3 months ago?
So your screenplay's tight as a nun's asshole.
Did he write the story, or was it based on a book? Or
no, it was him and the director wrote the screenplay. Okay. It was the original screenplay.
So that might be his one shot to get his foot in the door at something else, because he's probably not somebody's cousin or kid.
No,
or giving Weinstein a. HJ.
So massage, man. They meet for a business massage. That's what it was for. You meet in a hotel for a business massage with Harvey Weinstein.
Below the waist massage.
That walrus. Where the massage stops and where it starts, you know? You rub the walrus till you get a part. That's what happens.
His whole body is one part pretty much when you look at him.
Like a ball.
Oh, man. We could go on and on about that. That's a whole other show right there. So that was my favorite movie from this series. Ingrid Goes West was the title. Now we can. You guys have ones that we'll all be able to talk about because I'm pretty sure we've all seen them. So we'll start with Don.
Oh my yeah. my movie that I didn't know we were supposed to pick something modern. So I picked Tombstone. I fucking love Tombstone.
Let's hear about Tombstone.
Tombstone is like a wildly manipulated story about Wyatt Earp and the fight at the OK Corral.
Right.
Which is like, you know, the shootout at the OK Corral has had how many movies made about it? Lots of them. And it's by far the best one. It has Val Kilmer.
It's Doc Holliday.
Doc Holliday, yep. who drops the greatest one-liners of any character in any movie ever, including all of the movies everybody's thinking where they're going to disagree with me right now, like Anchorman and things. Like, I'm your Huckleberry.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's that movie. Yep.
Probably the greatest, you know.
Are you going to stand? Are you going to do something or just stand there and bleed? And you know who that's
so
Billy Bob Thornton.
Yeah,
it's
you know.
Fat Billy Bob Thornton.
It's Billy Bob Thornton when he was fat before he had a vial of Angelina Jolie's blood around his neck.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Like, so that's like, there's
fat
weight loss.
In the early 90s?
Yeah, he was. He was a fat, round, pudgy fuck. And he looked 30 years older, man. And, so there's weight loss motivation for anybody. If you drop 40 pounds, you start fucking Angelina Jolie.
And that was only like 3 years too. Before Sling Blade, too. So he completely did a 180 on his.
Well, he met her on, Pushing 10. I just saw that for the first time.
Yeah, that's actually a good movie. Yeah, I didn't think it was terrible, to be honest.
That's a great movie. I thought it was going to suck balls.
I've never seen that.
I should learn that the only bad John Cusack movie is 2012. everything else he's in is pretty deep. Even Hot Tub Time Machine was
fuck yeah
okay. At least you know I laughed. Whatever.
So Tombstone. It's a Western, and Kurt Russell plays Wyatt Earp in that.
Russell plays Wyatt Earp. Sam Elliott plays his brother.
Sam Elliott, the guy from Jurassic Park.
No, that's you're thinking Sam Neill.
Okay.
Sam Elliott's the stranger in The Big Lebowski.
Oh,
the guy,
he's always got a mustache. He's always
all right.
He's like the same character. He's also in Roadhouse.
Roadhouse.
Dalton, you know, he's in fucking Roadhouse, man, and he looks exactly the same age. That motherfucker does not age.
You're right. He's been like 60 years old.
He's in the Golden Compass.
Like 30 years.
He's in the Golden Compass, and he's looked the same age since the 80s. He's just been a cowboy randomly placed in movies, and then they finally put him in a fucking Western. And Bill Paxton is the other brother.
That's right. I knew there was one person I was forgetting.
And there's just
R.I.P.
so many good one-liners in the movie, and the it's probably the best performance, which is saying something, of all of those people. Is the best performance. And there's a lot of really famous actors that you'll see in the background.
That were like in it before they made it. Like Billy Bob Thornton was like before they made
it. Billy Bob Thornton is in it.
Powers Booth, I know, is in
it. Jason Priestley is in it.
That's is he funny. Really?
Yeah. He doesn't have his mutton chops, though.
Oh.
So, it's no boners. but yeah, I just, that movie I've watched on repeat, you know, or like I've been watching it since I was a kid, and it's one of my favorites of all time.
Well, I got to ask you, like, because Westerns are just one of the, there's so many Westerns, right?
Yeah, most of them suck.
A lot of, that's the thing. Like, but there are a lot of good ones too. Like a lot of people, if you say like, what's your favorite Western? I could see them like Unforgiven is a big choice. Like the classics, like Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid, stuff like that. So why Tombstone is one of those ones that like you don't automatically think of it, but when then somebody brings it up, you're like, yeah, that was a really good fucking movie. That still holds up.
You know, like I don't think it would have been as good, but there's like this. Kurt Russell actually directed. It was like a ghost director.
Oh, I was going to ask who did direct it.
I don't know because I don't remember names like you do. Like my memory is fucking horrible. But yeah, there's like a there's a story that went around forever about how basically Kurt Russell was completely responsible for the direction of the movie.
So he was basically like Steven Spielberg on Poltergeist then.
Yeah, and he did not confirm that until like last year. He was finally like, yeah, you know, I basically directed
Just like Steven Spielberg with Poltergeist.
Yeah.
Now we're all old and it won't hurt anybody's feelings. It was, you give me the credit.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it was, George P. Cosmatos, which I mean,
no, nobody knows who that fucking is.
Yeah. So,
nope.
The only thing he's actually Tombstone. He didn't even do that.
He died in 2005. And you know who, Tobe Hooper, the guy who directed Poltergeist, just died too, which is now we know why they,
now they we know why out. They come out and say, yeah, that was
no
me.
Feelings getting hurt. Like you said,
yeah. I'm waiting until, Ben Affleck and, Matt Damon die in a car accident and Kevin Smith can be like, yeah, I wrote
Good Will Hunting. Oh my God, that would be, dude. If he wrote Good, why would you hide that? You
know, that has been a huge rumor for a very long
time. If he wrote that, then why has he not produced anything of that caliber since
Hollywood?
Like, I would love if he fucking wrote that. That would make, because I want to, you know, be like, this dude is a genius. But it's like, if I were him, you know, why would I hide that? It's like,
well, if you look at the dialogue, he definitely had some input because the dialogue is so very similar to some Kevin Smith movies, right? But speaking of dialogue, like Tombstone, that's why I love it. There's the one-liners are amazing. The guys are like, every one of the male characters who is the good guy is like the epitome of being a good man, other than the fact that Wyatt Earp like cheats on his wife, but hey, you know, she's addicted to fucking opiates, so fuck her.
As so many people were back then, and are now.
Yeah, right. Yeah. What was it, laudanum? Yeah,
yeah.
She's a laudanum addict, so she drinks her purple liquid out of her bottle, and that's they used to sell that to keep women quiet. That was.
I never knew that.
Yeah, really. Laudanum was sold to, it was an opiate liquid. I'm not kidding, dude. It was an opiate liquid that they would sell to calm women. So they just had a massive portion of the population that were women were just completely addicted to this.
And
they would just
God.
Sit around fucked up all day so they would stay quiet.
Oh, Jesus.
And now we just have whiskey.
So it didn't work out great for them. You know?
Whiskey and Oxycontin.
Which calms some people down and then makes other people aggressively horny and violent, which is a good combination.
Hopefully not violently horny. Yeah. It's bad, Harvey.
All right. So Ingrid Goes West, Tombstone, Ed.
Real quick, what was the movie with Leonardo DiCaprio? It was also a Western, kind of around the same time. It's almost like the companion movie to Tombstone.
Oh, is it? Does that have Sharon Stone?
Yeah.
The Quick and the Dead.
Yeah.
That's actually a really good Western too.
Yeah.
It's sort of like almost like a half parody of a Western though, but it's really good. Sharon Stone plays an awesome gunfighter in that movie.
Yeah. And back when she was still hot.
Super hot.
Which is what's important.
Like one of the primary sex symbols in the world because she did her leg on crossing thing and flashed her beaver at the entire planet in Basic Instinct. Right?
Also a good movie. A little weird because it's Michael Douglas and he looked 80 back when he was 20. Yeah. So I don't know why.
You know,
another guy who doesn't age.
You know, there's another, there's came a thing out where an old it's man. Like, why you think in your head, you're watching these movies and you're like, why is Michael Douglas fucking this hot woman? And then you realize, oh, well, maybe it's not that unrealistic because the fucking guy is married to Catherine Zeta-Jones.
Mm. Who's like 30 years
who in her day was probably the most beautiful woman on the planet.
She
right.
was banging, man. She had that movie with Sean Connery.
Oh, God. Yeah, Entrapment. Entrapment. Oh, dude, the laser scene where the ass goes under the lasers.
Yeah. And he's
I'm
just
going
sort of
to show you how to break into a bank.
Mad TV did this awesome sketch where they made a joke about, like her trying to be turned on by Sean Connery. And I mean, he was like, I mean, he's like, he was like 80 when he did that, you know. And there's a scene where she, like, she like rips his shirt off and it's, it shows a close up of his old man torso. And she's just looking at it like she's supposed to be reacting yeah. like it's the most hot thing.
Extremely,
the thing.
Extremely unrealistic yeah. sexual attraction.
And then he's like, he can't, you know, get the energy. He's like, ready or not, here I come. And he's trying to get on top of her and she's just kind of lying there. It was really funny.
Sean Connery is proof that like all of the gravitas and swagger in the entire world, eventually your body does matter a little.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
that dude is looking rough.
Well, I mean,
you can't blame him. I mean, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, he's pushing.
He's 185 years old now.
I know. He's looking good for a 90-year-old.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, he
yeah.
looks pretty. He still looks like
when I'm 90, I'll be dead for 40 years. Yeah.
There you go. He could definitely kick my ass. I'll say that.
Still, oh. Mr. Universe. Oh, he's yeah. a former Mr. Universe.
Is he really?
Yeah, fuck yeah. And he was a bodybuilder back in the day.
Yeah, before he was Bond, he was a 50s bodybuilder.
Yep. Oh, goddamn. You learn something new every day. I'm learning all sorts of
shit. Yeah, if you ever wanted to hate yourself a lot, like, go and look at the pictures of him when he's Mr. Universe. Like, yeah, I, like, genetically, I'm super inferior to this guy.
It's like I'm looking at it now. I'm like, oh, I'm a woman now. You know? So anyway, on that note, Ed, what's the movie you like?
I like to gargle the balls of Blade Runner 2049.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because they finally made a good sequel to something, which they're so fucking bad at. Did you guys see Stranger Things too?
I did not, no. I think Stranger Things.
I binge watched it.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't awful compared to the world. But compared to Stranger Things, compared to the first season, it was not as good.
They didn't have a story. They did. The first three episodes are random horror movie shit happening for no reason. You could throw the first three or four episodes out until Will gets infected by the big spider guy. And the one-off episode. So they really only had three episodes for a whole fucking season.
Yeah, they weren't. That was never supposed to be. Like, I thought that the first season was super fucking overrated. I thought it was good, but it was not this giant cultural.
No.
Phenomenon, like people are treating it. It's
just
like
a good Netflix series.
Yeah, and that was the thing is they never were. It was never supposed to be a series. I don't think it was a mini series basically.
Yeah,
and then they're like Netflix is like, well, it made us a shit ton of money, so you got to keep it going. And no, who's going to say no to that? You know.
Well, I loved the first season, and it had that nostalgia factor for me because you know I'm a bit older than you guys, so as a child of the '80s, like just they nailed that feel, mm-hmm. but then have. You know, one thing missing from the 80s and everything that came out of the 80s, including the people, is quality, right? So, like, it was a quality show. It was good, you know? Yeah, I mean, maybe it's not as amazing as people act like, but I think something that the second season
Well, it just goes to show it's hard to.
Supposed to be talking about what was
rushed.
Good and
we're
shit.
Yeah, well, we will, but it's hard to do an actual sequel to something.
Yeah.
Because usually there's no story left.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Or
if it's done well, there shouldn't be any story left, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, and I was thinking about that with Blade Runner. I go, man, we're getting all these terrible sequels from movies 20 years ago, like Zoolander 2. I didn't even bother seeing it. It's a fucking turd. Mm-hmm. And there were a couple more that came out that were just god awful. I think they even made, we were just talking about Basic Instinct. They made a sequel to that, like, couple years ago.
They really?
Been like
the
10
fuck?
Years ago now, yeah. I think Sharon Stone's
gotta
in it.
Stop that shit.
So if you want to see, you know, if you want to like put the movies on side by side and compare her 20-year-old ham wallet to her 50-year-old ham wallet, then I'm sure you can because we probably did it. They probably did it twice because it's the sequel. It's number two.
Right, right.
No, but it was nice to have an actual continuation of the story so they didn't just abandon it like Ridley Scott is doing fucking
with
up the Alien universe.
Yeah. Oh,
and
yeah.
So it was a
fanfic alien.
And it made
sense.
Yeah, Jesus Christ. And it made sense. That was another thing. So basically, you know, Blade Runner 1 was just Harrison Ford badly narrating a decent sci-fi movie about he hunts androids down that escape. And they only live for 3 years. So Rutger Hauer is trying to figure out how to live longer. He's an android.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. It's just like a little crime movie and set in a futuristic world. And it's very believable that, you know, L.A. could look like that. Not in the year 2017, which is when the first Blade Runner came out, but in the future. So a second Blade Runner comes along, and I'm thinking, like, we're going to get all this generic horse shit. You know, I see Ryan Gosling. Oh, he's going to be Harrison Ford's son, and he's going to take up the mantle. And, you know, and then we got Dave Bautista, and I bet he just plays Drax again in the same, you know, this Guardians of the Galaxy character. And didn't get none of that, really. What we got was actually a pretty decent continuation of the story is before the main guy that creates these androids died, he figured out how to create them so they could reproduce on their own.
Mm-hmm.
And then that sets off the chain of events. Ryan Gosling's a you find out right in the get-go that he's actually an android, which when I found that out the first time I watched it, I'm sitting there, I'm like, oh, this is going to get generic as fuck and be preachy as hell. And we're going to get Will Smith's I Am Robot movie, mm-hmm. which is just a gross...
That is
destruction
bad.
Of the source material. It's a JVC advertisement.
It's one of the worst ass wipings of source material that's ever happened, oh, by the man. Way.
I didn't even bother seeing it. And I remember when it came out. That's the I Did Not Murder Him.
It's a terrible movie and like some of probably the most thought provoking sci fi.
Is that Philip K. Dick too?
No,
yeah.
That's Isaac Asimov.
No, it's Asimov. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's
Asimov. Okay. Anyway, yeah. But I completely agree with you on all those points, man. I the thing that I really liked about it, and this is the exact same thing that happened with Mad Max Fury Road, and I wanted it to happen with this, and it didn't happen to the same extent, but it for the most part, they nailed it, which is I knew nothing about Mad Max going into Fury Road. I had no frame of reference on it. Okay. I went in, and the very first shot of the movie, I was like, holy fuck. That shot of him in the desert, and you're looking over his shoulder and just standing next to his car. You are there. Right, and it's literally like, boom. And you're like, this is fucking beautiful. The beginning of Blade Runner, I saw it with Ed in IMAX a couple weeks ago.
On our mandate, yeah.
And the same thing as Mad Max. It opens up black screen as that ominous low, and you're in IMAX, so it's fucking vibrating your balls. And I was going to say your tits, but balls would also work. And you get the opening narration, which is really ominous, and then same fucking thing, bam, and then you're zooming over Dave Bautista's maggot fields, and yeah. It's a beautiful movie. And another thing that I really loved about it that we haven't gotten into yet is Joy, the character of Joy,
yeah,
the digital girlfriend. Just first of all, that actress is just one of the most beautiful women you've ever set eyes on.
Yeah,
right?
it's almost unsettling how beautiful she is, and it was really good that she played something that was programmed to be beautiful, right? Because she looks unreal.
Yeah,
yeah.
She's Cuban, and that whole the scene where he's walking across the bridge and he sees the advertisement of her is like that. It just, I mean. As a guy,
died,
like,
yeah.
It's just you really – and it's cool because you can just see it in his face. He's like, that's when he decides he's going to do what he's going to do. Not to bring up Weinstein again, but there's actually a picture of her and Weinstein, believe it or not. But get this. You look at Weinstein's hand, and his hand is like not – he's got his hand around her, but he's not – he doesn't have his palm, like he's got like his hand in a fist, so he's almost hover handing this woman. So beautiful that Harvey Weinstein was intimidated. He was like, I don't want to.
So beautiful that the worst serial rapist since Bill Cosby was hover handing her.
Yes.
That's impressive.
Yes.
Like, well,
that's, I think it's
that's
just
how pure she
so
is.
So fucked up.
I'm just so tired of. And really, the alien movies that are coming out are just a great example. I'm so tired of movies that are just shit writing,
yeah.
and lazy writing, just so
it's
we can
lazy.
Get to the next
yeah.
thing. Like, yeah. oh, we got to have this. People actually act like in all the movies you guys are talking about that are good. People actually act like they would fucking act, just a little more dramatic if they were in that situation. So, you know, he's in this relationship with his digital wife, but he's a fucking android too, and it's fucking with him, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then the reason you like Joy so much isn't just because she's hot as hell. It's because they both like stick together constantly, mm-hmm. and they're actually a good couple. You know, because she's in his pocket in that little, you know, he puts her on his iPad.
Yeah.
touch or whatever, and on his iPad. So she can hear and see what's going on all the time. And he turns away the hooker girl that we meet again later. Mm-hmm. And then he turns away his boss's sexual advances. And then, like, she loves him more for it. And she's a good wife to him the mm-hmm. whole time and willing to stick it out with him. And eventually, you know, you kind of saw this coming. They really set it up pretty obviously. But eventually she gets killed for sticking with him.
Right.
And so it's like, they've made them surprisingly, relatable, even though they're both fake.
Mm-hmm.
They're just one's digital and one's an Android, a skin job.
You know what else I really liked about it was the fact they didn't bring Harrison Ford in until, halfway through the movie.
Yeah. And it didn't feel like, hey guys, here's Harrison Ford.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I really, really liked the movie and I did not think I was going to like it because I really liked the original, especially the original version of the director's cut.
Yeah.
Is very, very good. The theatrical version's a fucking disaster, but
with Harrison Ford's purposely bad narration because he didn't want to do it. I love it. I can't watch it without it, man. It's got to
really?
Be in there. Oh, it's so awful.
The imagery was beautiful for its day, and it's amazing how because I just rewatched the original before I went to see the new one, and it's amazing how well the movie actually holds up as a semi-realistic version of our future, right? There's just ads everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they predicted that before the internet was really even a thing.
Yeah, 10 years before the internet was even really possible.
And they're spot on with how the ads, they're like directed towards the person that's around them. And it's just really, really good.
You know, what's really interesting is you say like they predicted all these things back in the 80s. What did this one predict about the 2040s? There's really not much different about that world between then and now, right? Yeah. Like, so what is that? Does that mean that?
It definitely, I don't even think it predicted it. I think it just takes what's already in the early stages, the digital girlfriend thing.
Oh, yeah.
They got those dolls they're selling and the simulated.
Oh, Jesus,
there is a brothel in Austria that had one sex doll. They had to buy another one because people were going to the sex doll more than they were going to the actual women. So already.
So if you won't have sex with a artificial female, are you like some kind of phobe?
Yeah. It'll be weird to do it. It's like, you had sex with a real woman. Are you, what the fuck is wrong with
you? Do you know how dangerous it is to have sex with a real woman? Ew. Remember fucking Demolition Man? Ew. Fluid transfer.
Yeah. He's all disappointed because she won't fuck him for real. That was great.
Gross. Fluid transfer. Disgusting. That's what it's going to be. I don't think you're wrong. I think that's the most realistic part of the movie is that eventually there's, except I don't think it'll be. Because I don't think realistically, physically, it's possible to have holograms of that nature, right?
Yeah, not yet.
No, I don't think ever.
I don't think the way physics works.
It's not entirely possible. But I guarantee you, there's going to come a day, probably before we're out of the 2020s, when guys go home and put on a set of fucking VR goggles, right? Mm-hmm. And there's like a robot walking around their house that their VR goggles put a
woman on,
a nice overlay on, so it doesn't look like Chappie while they're fucking it.
There'll be, and I guarantee you, there will be I don't know. This will be an interesting thing to see if it happens, but celebrities. Like, hey, I want my girlfriend to be Selena Gomez, so I'm going to come home to Selena Gomez.
So instead of like the cell phone hack, it'll be like the 3D image scan hack of Selena Gomez.
Yeah.
And like, that'll be the Jesus Christ. What a horrible universe we live in. We've delved so deeply into fucking degeneracy that we have people wearing out a sex doll. And fucking,
yeah.
Jesus.
Well, I think
Christ.
What it is the sex doll doesn't. You know,
don't talk back.
not even what I was going to say is the sex doll doesn't have this, the 1,000-yard stare, isn't because she's getting raped for a living,
Well, how many yards does the sex doll stare at?
Well, what I mean by that is I'm guessing that, the women, I don't fucking know, but there's some serious. emotional. I mean, they're pretending to like you at the best. You know, there's no, especially some of these dudes go in there and it's like, nobody wants to fuck them. So the only way they can get laid is they get paid. There's a reason for that. So the woman that has to do it, even though she's getting money for it, she's doing a job and she can only act so well. She can only act like she wants it to a certain extent. Whereas the doll doesn't give a fuck because it's not a real person. So it's the doll.
I guess.
There's not that.
I still can't relate to it.
So that's what.
Like, I'd rather just pretend I'm a married guy and fuck a woman who hates me.
So that's what Blade Runner 2049 was all about.
Well, all right. Well,
whether if something we create has human rights or anything like
that. No, it's just about whether or not.
Can you fuck a hologram, guys? Can you?
I mean, we've just been for eons, we've just been horny little monkeys running around just rubbing our genitals against things and each other, and that's basically what keeps the world turning.
And that
doesn't that just warm your heart?
We've just been evolution has just been careening us towards preferring rubbing our genitals against things other than others of ourselves.
Things.
Next it'll be places. We got nouns. We got people. Start with people going to things, jumping right to things. Places.
Can't wait to rub my junk on the pyramids. Just a small fee, you can get sandy balls.
So on that note, we're at the bottom of the hour, so we're going to jump over and talk. Now we get to bitch about the movies that we hate. I'll do mine first, and I'll go quick because I already talked about it once on a previous show. The movie that I saw this year that I absolutely fucking hated and I would have walked out of. There were actually two, and I'll mention Death Note was the – I watched 15 minutes of Death Note, and I was like, whoever made this should never be allowed near a camera again. But the one that I hated that I saw in the theater that I would have walked out of was Kong Skull Island. Holy fuck, what a terrible movie. The screen – that's, and this is the mirror opposite of Ingrid Goes West in terms – the screenplay was shit. If your screenplay is not any good, the rest of your movie is going to suck. It does not matter how well you cast. This movie had an awesome cast. I actually thought it was going to be – it was Tom Hiddleston, Brie Larson, John Goodman. You get John Goodman and Samuel L. Jackson doing a little stare-off with each other, and it sucks.
It still sucks.
It's like, how do you fuck that up?
Yeah, it's rough.
So the special effect, it was bland. It was insultingly stupid. It was even the post-credit scene that I stayed for because I'm a huge Godzilla fan and I wanted to see what King Ghidorah was going to look like and all these other things that they showed in this post-credit scene. Even the post-credit scene was horribly written. Like, how do you – it's like you can't even get 5 minutes of decent material onto paper to do it. You don't even have to do anything. Like, you don't – there's no – you know, just say the most generic possible thing. The lines are something like Tom Hiddleston and Brie Larson are in this underground bunker and Tom Hiddleston's like, hey, you know, I promise not to tell the Russians or whatever if you let me out of here. And Brie Larson, who's this hippie character, is like, I promise I will tell the Russians. And it's like, what a stupid – that both of those lines are just
– it hurt.
Yeah, exactly. Somebody got paid to write that. And so Kong Skull Island was the one. I won't go into it.
I'm glad I didn't fucking see that.
No, total waste of time.
I watched it on a flight back home. The best character in the movie was the CGI gorilla.
Yeah.
Like the most emotive. Like, that's the only character I gave a shit about.
Well, not even. You know who
isn't it comically oversized too? Like
something like that. It looked like the
Godzilla sized gorilla.
Yeah. Right?
Well, they make a reference in the movie. They're like, well, he's still growing because he's still not big enough to fight the new Godzilla. The new Godzilla is like the biggest Godzilla that there's ever been. And if the fight took place now, he would be like three heads taller than Kong and it wouldn't make any sense. So they're like, oh, it's the 70s and he's going to keep growing and blah, 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 blah. But actually another – Johnson, I keep forgetting he was in it because he just seemed so out of place. But John C. Reilly was in it and he is actually the one human character that worked. But I could tell it was because he took one look at the screenplay and he said, all right, this is what I'm – these are my actual lines. This is what I'm going to say. I'm just going to come up with my own shit. And I can – because there's a line in there where he's talking about the creatures that live on the island that – the evil creatures that Kong fights. And he's like, I call them skull crawlers. And they're like, skull crawlers? And he's like, well, I never said it out loud. It just sounds stupid. You can say whatever you want. There's no way that the guy who wrote the screenplay wrote that line. That's a John C. Reilly improv, 100%. Because he probably looked at it and was like, all right, here's how I can make this funny.
Yeah, and they needed that name in there somehow so they could sell the toy.
Yeah, yeah. Now that you bring that, I didn't think about that, but you're absolutely right. Kong Skull Island, fuck Kong Skull Island. We'll go backwards this time. Ed, why don't you tell us the movie that you want to whine about?
Fucking Star Wars. I'm going to shit all over Star Wars.
The Force Awakens, right?
Both of them.
Both of them? Even the new one?
Yeah.
Okay.
Rogue One.
Oh, Rogue One. Oh, okay.
Boring One.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the reason I liked Blade Runner as a sequel, because it was a good example of just decent writing. Mm-hmm. And like, it was proof that all you need is a good little story to entertain people. And that's why the movie Chef is so popular. Mad Max was a good story. You could have done Mad Max with no action.
Mm-hmm.
Because, and
just a silent
film. Wasn't, we've seen car chases before. So why was Mad Max objectively liked by everybody over any other dumb action flick, over Transporter 3, mm-hmm. you know, because there's decent writing.
Fast and the Furious.
Yeah. Jeez. Well, I mean, there's nothing wrong with making movies for 12-year-old dudes, but it's
– But
– Yeah. They're old now and it's weird. Get over your cars. But so The Force Awakens, I mean, you fucking fanboys, you loser tiny brain drones have just shown Disney that they can literally give you the same fucking movie from 40 years ago verbatim and you're going to stroke their fucking shaft over it. It's ridiculous. It's the first movie. My dad brought this up the other day because we all went and saw it together. It's the first Star Wars movie we've seen in theaters where nobody fucking clapped at the end.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Star Wars changed movies forever. The prequels came out and it's like a fad to shit on them now because, you know, you go back and they're kind of people fucking cheered and clapped. That was the first movie I ever seen that happen.
Yeah, I wanted to shoot that theater up when people were clapping. Fucking goddamn abysmal.
For which one?
Fucking, the Phantom fucking Menace. What a fucking horrible sack of shit. And it's not because I love Star Wars, right?
Yes.
I was relating a story to him. Before the pie, it's very important to me on a personal level. That's nothing about just shit that I like, right? I love Star Wars. I read all the books. I had all the fucking comics. I watched the movies. I was so excited for The Phantom Menace to come out. I forced all of my non-nerdy friends
to go
at midnight with me to watch this because I'm like, this is going to be fucking amazing. That movie is the biggest turd. That movie... I know you probably would disagree, but I feel that movie is leagues worse than The Force Awakens.
Oh, man, it's hard because No one says yippee
in fucking The Force Awakens.
The Force Awakens has some decent characters on top of some really awfully written ones, which I'm going to get into. But at least in The Phantom Menace, they tried something new. The only new thing in this movie was a neat-looking lightsaber that they gave to Kylo Ren, who's a cool character. But let's talk about Finn, a guy who was raised from birth to be a stormtrooper, escapes, and then is afraid of fucking everything in sight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Terrible.
Little off. Okay, then you got Rey, and she's likable and cool, whatever. And then she beats the shit out of a budding Sith Lord at the end of the movie somehow.
Just a total Mary Sue.
All it would have taken for that movie to be decent was, one, don't have a fucking Death Star in it. And two, show us Rey earlier in the movie beating some ass so we know she can fight. And then right. I could believe her holding her own against a right. fucking Sith Lord.
Other than she sort of beats the shit out of a couple bums with a stick.
Yeah.
Right? So, not the same thing.
Yeah. So you get these characters that make some sense, but then don't make sense in other ways. Like Finn makes no fucking sense at all. I run away from everything, even though from birth I've been a warrior. Makes no sense.
Yeah.
Piss me off. Then you get Poe, the cool ass pilot. They don't spend enough time with him. Harris. They had the balls to kill a main character for once.
Yeah,
but nothing new, right?
You didn't even care about it, though. I didn't give a fuck about him dying. And also, the thing that I hated about The Force Awakens. Why the hell is when you said Ryan Gosling is going to be Harrison Ford's son? Why the hell does everybody have to be related in
somebody's
these movies?
Kid. Yeah,
yeah. Why can't it just be?
Well, then we get Rogue One, right? So it's like they're going to make up for the things we hated about Force Awakens. Rogue One's the most boring fucking garbage movie of all time. Can anybody in this room name the main characters other than the K2SO robot and the girl?
I can't name their name.
Like the movie, name the fucking names?
I liked Rogue One more than I liked The Force Awakens, but just barely. It was not really – they were on the same level of mediocre for me.
You don't spend any time with any of the characters. Nothing new or original happens, so you don't give a shit when they all die. Mm-hmm. It's just a good-looking movie with no story around it.
Very good-looking movie.
Yeah.
I think it's probably the best-looking Star Wars movie in my imagination.
Just quit feeding the nostalgia machine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're going to have TIE Fighters next wings. Put something new in the fucking movie. So hopefully, and because I'm a total tool bag, I'm going to give them my money and see it. But hopefully, you know, in a few weeks when The Last Jedi comes out, we get something new.
Mm-hmm.
But But the flip point out, like I was telling you guys earlier, if they just copy The Empire Strikes Back, that'd be so fucking funny.
Yeah.
Well, at that point, it'll almost be a letdown if the last one is not a direct copy of Return of the Jedi.
Yeah, I don't know which way they're going to go.
That would be hilarious, is the first two are just carbon copies of the New Hope and The Empire Strikes. And then the last one is just like this mind-blowing. It's like Blade Runner 2049. It's the one that we've all been waiting for.
It's like Star Wars.
Yeah.
Maybe that'll be funny.
They just have to make them fun, man. Like, I know it's a simple story, and it's – make it fun. So, like, episode one, you know, they made some mistakes in that. But the pod race scene was cool, and that was a big deal when it came out because it looked amazing at the time. Now you can kind of see it, you know. But, and then Darth Maul was cool, but they killed him off. He made an appearance in the little kid's cartoon. I guess he wasn't really dead. But what a wasted character. You set up a good bad guy, and then you kill him in the first fucking movie, right?
Yeah.
So I think, and then you got little Annie going, yippee, which kind of is just the seasoning on
and
top
that
of
stupid
that.
Fucking
that poor kid, man. Like the most humiliating. I mean, he literally, it fucked him up.
Yeah, his life is horrible.
Yeah. He's in jail right now. He got arrested. He had like a car chase.
But he's tried to kill himself a couple times, and like people have like repeatedly told him to kill himself because of how bad he was. I mean, he's a 10-year-old
You can't process that at that age.
No, it's not his fault that those movies sucked.
No.
You know, I think the difference between The Phantom Menace and The Force Awakens is that you could make The Force Awakens a good movie just with a couple of changes. If they would have shown Rey when she's sitting alone in the desert, you know, when she's in like her Star Destroyer or whatever, her AT-ST that she lives in, and they would have shown her like goofing around and moving shit with the Force, like. Yeah.
And she doesn't know exactly what she's doing.
She doesn't really know what she's doing.
Always done, yeah.
But they would have just shown that, like, she had some kind of practice, or when she was harvesting parts, like, if she would have, if there would have been a moment where, like, something dropped and she stopped it and grabbed it.
Well, here's a great thing. When she's threatened and she's angry, it comes out and she wonders what it is.
Exactly.
And then now you got a good setup because you don't know if she's going to be good or bad.
So it would have only taken that. The entire movie, this is something I've talked to Alex before, the entire movie changes not at all. If Starkiller Base is just where they're at, it doesn't have to be a super weapon. Then nothing changes about the movie.
Yeah,
if
get rid of the Death Star.
It doesn't have to be like, hey guys, this time it's a Death Star, but it's even bigger.
Yeah, this time it's the size of a planet instead of a moon.
Have Kylo Ren chop Finn up into tiny little fucking pieces.
Sure, the dude why not? That's
never a stormtrooper. Random stormtrooper number 7, who's afraid of everything, holds his own against Kylo Ren somehow.
Have there be a reason that he's like, have them have like a mind control unit that gets fried or something. Who fucking knows? But have a reason that he's so fucked up.
Exactly.
You know, and just a few tweaks. But the Phantom Menace, you would have to completely change everything about that fucking movie in order to make that a
good
movie.
You'd have to chop it up. You'd have to. And Jar Jar Binks was designed for me at the time. I was 10 and I loved him. And then I didn't see the movie for 10 years, and I'm like, everybody's bitching about Jar Jar Binks, what? And I see it, and I'm like, oh, fuck, dude.
I think I was like 18 or 19 when that came out, and I wanted, if I'd have seen George Lucas, I probably would have beat him to death.
Well, let's be fair, nothing's as bad as the second one, though. Attack of the Clones is the worst Star Wars.
That shit is rough. You know, the only thing that Attack of the Clones has is like that fight in the pit or whatever is so horrible that I was laughing while I was watching it. There's like a comedy.
There's a bunch of glow sticks at a rave running around.
I guess the lesson here is, for the most part, like, Star Wars fucking sucks.
Right? It does.
That's the thing. It's like, it's who was talking about, and we, this will be the last thing, so we gotta move on, because we're gonna, I want to have some time to talk about your movie. And I completely forgot what I was gonna fucking say, because I'm trying to run the show. We'll move on. So yes, I agree. Like, Star Wars sucks more than it is good. But the same thing with Stranger Things. The main reason people like it is because it reminds them of when they were a kid, and having fun as a kid. And there's nothing wrong with that. Right. But the problem is that the companies that are selling it to us want to treat it like it's this religious experience, and people buy into it, and that's like people are smarter than that, you know.
Yeah.
Come on. I know exactly what you're going to say. We want to believe that people are smarter
like
than that.
He said, you know, they're stroking the mouse dick for these movies. And I, you know, while I don't think it's the worst movie ever made, I definitely think that they should have gotten a lot more flack than they got a bunch, because it is almost like a scene for scene reproduction of the original movie. But they should have felt that in some way, and they didn't. People still bought the fucking merchandise.
Well, what they felt was we just spent billions of dollars on this, and it cannot fail, so we bought make the safest fucking choice.
We bought this for $4 fucking billion off a giant neck.
Mm-hmm. And, off a goiter.
Yeah. And he hasn't written a fucking single good thing since the original Star Wars, and everybody else
years.
Has been dragging his fucking ass through the mud, which leads me into my...
Yeah, let's hear it.
Fucking movie I'm mad about. Makes me... Sometimes I'll think about this movie and I'll get so fucking pissed off.
That you don't even know what he's going to say yet.
I just watching him load the rifles, man.
Oh, you got no idea. Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull. Okay? Let's take arguably one of the coolest... This would be like if they made a James Bond movie where James Bond basically recreates the movie Kindergarten Cop, right? and fucking doesn't do anything mm-hmm. the entire movie except fumble, fuck around, and be stupid. That movie is so awful. You know, they have a professor say the word nuclear as nuclear.
Oh, really?
Yes. They have like this fucking music backdrop greaser and Archie Comics looking guys fight in a diner.
Yeah.
The entire movie's a sack of shit. There's nothing redeemable about it at all. And the worst part is, like, I went to see the movie thinking, well, you know, Steven Spielberg is on board with it, too. So how bad could Lucas have fucked this up? Well, then I find out after... Another one of my childhood dreams was crushed, right?
Yeah.
I find out that George Lucas held out the entire time. We ain't making a fucking Indiana Jones movie till I can do this stupid alien skull.
That was his idea then.
He wrote the screenplay and that was his idea. Like, they weren't going to do it until George Lucas got his way.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. The movie is the worst fucking thing ever, man.
I remember seeing it and being really underwhelmed. I didn't know. I love the Indiana Jones.
Well, how old were you when it came out?
I would have been 22.
Oh, okay.
I didn't like it, but I didn't walk out going, wow, that was the shittiest movie I've ever seen.
It was.
But the more I hear about it and the more I hear people pointing things out, like I remember watching him survive the nuke and being like in the theater.
In a refrigerator.
And being kind of like, that seems a little unrealistic, but that was as far as it went. You know, I didn't.
Well, the worst part is the refrigerator flies through the goddamn air.
And stays in one piece.
Well, so does he. It tumbles. It flies like 400 goddamn yards. Okay. And then it tumbles down the side of a mountain. Okay, and then he climbs out of it, and he's like a fucking quarter mile away from a fucking mushroom cloud.
Yeah, yeah.
And then all they do is scrub him with some brushes. Hey, you know what, man?
Little radiation.
Here's a little water. You'll be dead in a month, but we got enough time to finish this story.
You know what I really didn't like about it, though, when I was watching, I remember, is the fucking Ray Winstone's character constantly switching sides.
Oh,
that was just like the most confusing fucking thing.
And there's just so many moments, you know, where it's like, oh, look, this is from the first movie, Marion Ravenwood. Why does her son call her Mary? Why does her son not say the last name? Why? Because it doesn't, you know, it doesn't help it be a surprise later on when it's Marion Ravenwood. Why would he say, oh, my mom, Mary? Well, there were a lot of Marys, kid.
What's the term for that? When characters purposely keep their mouth shut when nobody in real life would, just so the story can progress. There's a term for that bullshit.
I have no idea.
I just call it garbage writing.
Hey, at least you had that awesome scene where they swung like Tarzan.
Oh, for fuck's
sake. Oh, yeah. And there's that, all this new shit's coming back to me. Kate Blanchett was in that, and I love Kate Blanchett.
And she's horrible. They managed to make Kate Blanchett suck.
Yeah.
Which is real hard to do.
Yeah.
She made Galadriel cool. Like, and that's.
Well, we could talk about Lord of the Rings as much as we want, but.
I'd love to make her suck. That's she's weird. Hotter now as an old lady than she was because she was in Pushing 10.
Oh,
and
really?
I'm like, oh, she's like 25. I'm like, nah, I don't like it.
Up. Really?
Now I'm like, she's like 40 something, whatever.
Yeah, she's 48 or 49.
Internally in her 40s. It's kind of hot, man.
Yeah, she's Thor. I just saw Thor Ragnarok over the weekend. She is smoking.
Yeah, you know what?
Yeah.
Actually, in the preview, she looked amazing.
Yeah.
In that. She's just cool. She has a really good screen presence.
One
she's
of my
cool
favorite actresses.
Fuck,
incredible actress.
Well, at least Star Wars wasn't as bad as that Indiana Jones, actually.
That was, yeah, you know,
that's a good point.
Like, yeah. It was legitimately worse than all three of the prequels multiplied by each other. It was absolutely fucking horrible. Those are three of the coolest movies ever. Indiana Jones, Raiders of the Lost Ark. The Temple of Doom is the worst one of the three, obviously, but it's still pretty cool. And then The Last Crusade is just
baller.
Holy fuck, man. Yeah. I could watch that over and over and over when I was a kid. You know, the Sean armies Connery, of darkness man. Will march across the face of the planet. You know, just such a cool movie.
This really sets, and getting back to Blade Runner, that was another thing with Blade Runner. Every single time that Harrison Ford has redone one of his nostalgic IPs,
sucked.
He has, I think it's almost like he does it on purpose. So I was expecting this to be this different. And he actually, again, it was, you know.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, he actually, but you know what? I think Blade Runner is one of the things that he actually liked, mm-hmm. you know, but Indiana Jones was too. Like he hated Star Wars for the longest time. He wouldn't talk about it. He wouldn't sign any pictures of Han Solo. Like, he fucking hated that shit because he saw how it ruined everybody else's career that was involved with it. So I thought, man, maybe this new Indiana Jones movie is going to be pretty dope. How'd they get that skull out of there? If they were all powerful,
I don't even remember like what the significance of the skull was. I mean, it was nine years ago I saw this movie.
It was removed from all like these extremely powerful aliens who are in a spaceship
below the surface of the earth,
Mayan or Incan, fucking I don't know, some bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
But like they have traps set. So who set those traps? Like
this is how you know, because if the movie was good enough, you don't think to ask these questions. That's how you know a movie sucks, is you're sitting there, instead of being engrossed in the story and just letting it tow you along, you're sitting there asking questions that you normally wouldn't think. I guarantee you all three of the movies that we mentioned that we liked have the potential that would like little plot holes and things like that. But because they were so good, we didn't bother paying attention to them.
Yeah.
So that's just another example.
So you have time to contemplate.
Yeah.
The ridiculousness.
I was so bored in Kong Skull Island, I fucking put a Facebook status. I've never done that. I've never, ever, ever done. I don't even use Facebook that often. I was on social media in the movie. So I basically paid MJR Brighton to go on Facebook.
There was some 68-year-old guy sitting behind you that you just ruined his whole day because your phone turned on.
No, he was probably asleep. There was barely anyone in the theater, actually.
Let's bomb the island for science. Fucking doesn't make any sense. The gorilla could have just been mad because he saw you. He heard all your fucking helicopters and it annoyed him.
And I love how the very first time...
Wait, that's why he was fighting them? Because they're just bombing
the
shit
island
for no
to get
reason?
The seismic readings, which allowed awoke the skull crawlers.
Yeah, that's great. It's
guess
good plot.
What, you dumb fucks? Helicopters are loud as shit. They could have just landed and been doing science stuff, and they heard the helicopters. Now they're waking Kong's pissed. Like, he didn't need to bomb the fucking island.
Yeah.
I love that's a scientific movie trope now, where, like, they got to blow some shit up in order to get... Whatever sound readings, is. Right? Yeah. You know where that started was in Jurassic Park with the shotgun shell into the ground.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And they made the picture of like the Velociraptor talon when he, and then he's got that weird scene where he like scares the shit out of that little kid.
Yeah.
But like after that movie, it's like every couple years that thing pops up where like they got to do something. It gets bigger every time. So they had to blow up Kong Island in order to get seismic readings, which is really stupid.
Yeah, I don't know how anybody like wrote that and then went like we should check this, you know, we should Google this to see if this is even a thing, you know.
And well, it's somebody's cousin that gets the job, man. It's not
that's what it is. This dude who wrote it, it's the same dude who wrote the 2014 Godzilla, which was better, but it still wasn't very good.
The 3-hour movie with 8 minutes of Godzilla.
And
that movie was completely saved by the fact that Godzilla grabs the mouth of the
two finishing movies were
and laser blasts it in the throat.
CinemaSins, you know, say what you want about CinemaSins. CinemaSins in their Godzilla review, they took Sins off for that scene where he blasts he shoots radioactive breath down the female Muto's throat.
That's fantastic.
So I mean,
it was a cool scene.
Yeah, it was. That movie was like 3 hours of crap for like maybe like you said 8 minutes of cool shit. You could have just been a really cool 8-minute short film.
They could have made a preview.
Yeah, exactly. The previews for that were fucking awesome.
They basically said it like, we heard your complaints, and then the second one we're actually gonna have Godzilla in, and like it's gonna be
oh good
He better take down some buildings with his tail.
Yeah.
Do it like a shifting dude.
Well, this is, if you've seen the original Ghidorah, this is basically a remake of a movie from the 60s called Ghidorah the Three-Headed Monster. If you've seen that, the fact that they're remaking that with, and the girl from Stranger Things is the main, Eleven is is the main character in the new Godzilla movie, actually. Yeah, but anyway, we got to wrap things up here. Guys, this has been great. Thanks so much for coming on. We'll do it again sometime. I'd like to. I guess there's really nothing much else to say. I will be back on Monday. I'm going to have Sisters of Your Sunshine Vapor will be in. I had Sean Morrow, the singer, on back in June, and now the entire band is going to come back and do the first band group show. So we're going to be talking about their new album, among other things. So, guys, once again, thank you so much for coming on. Don, Ed.
Thanks for having.
Yeah, it's been fun.
We will do it again, and I will see everybody on Monday. So, everybody have a great weekend. Bye-bye.